Welcome everyone, and thank you for joining today's Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting. It is Monday, December 8th, 2025. We are heading to close out this year pretty soon. So I would like to just remind everyone of a few helpful tips. Everybody who is joining through phone calls, if you'd like to unmute yourself, you can press star six. And if you press star six again, that will mute you. We do want people to stay on mute unless you're speaking, because it helps eliminate any external noise. At the same time, if you'd like to make comments, you can raise virtual hands by pressing star nine. And if you press star nine again, that will lower the virtual hands. Everybody who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon where it says mute. And that will mute and unmute yourselves. If you click on the raise hand icon, for some it might be under reactions, that will do the trick of raising and lowering your virtual hands. If people are able to utilize these tools, it will be helpful, because then we will know that somebody's trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. As you know, we do have two American Sign Language interpreters on this meeting with us. Therefore, we request that when people make comments, please state your name before you start making your comments, because it helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It's also helpful for people who are listening on the phone calls. And when people listen to the meeting audios, it's helpful for them. As you know, that we do place the meeting audios on our website, which is WMATA.com. As a general practice, we request anyone who speaks, please describe yourselves briefly when initially speaking. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I have long dark hair, and I have a gray sweater on today. Just initially when you're speaking, a brief description will be appreciated. We will go through the public comment section. I just want to remind any members of the public that if you'd like to make comments, you can either send a chat message to inform us and we can put you on the list, or when we begin the public comment section, you can raise your virtual hands and we will take any members of the public in the order that we receive their names or hands. Chair Calabia, at
yes.
Time, if you concur, I can go ahead and read the agenda out loud, and then I can go through the roll call of the committee members.
Please do.
Great, thank you. So before I start reading the agenda, I will share my screen, and when that's visible, if somebody can confirm, I'll appreciate that.
I see it.
Thank you.
So, yep.
So just like I said, after I finish reading the agenda, we'll go through the roll call of the committee members. Afterwards, Chair Calabia will go through the review and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. We have Charlie Dingbu. He's going to provide us an update about Better Bus. Afterwards, we will have Jamie Ernst. He's a project manager, and he will talk about station ahead maps. And our last discussion of topic discussion for today is committee discussion on signage, and Sandy Newzel is going to lead that. Afterwards, we will go to public comments, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now and going to the roll call of the committee members. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster.
Here.
Thank you. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Colts.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher. Marcy Goldstein.
Yeah.
Thank you. Steve Kaffin.
Present.
Thank you. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Swatha Nandakumar.
I'm here.
Thank you. Glad to see you.
I'll be back. Thank you.
Sandy Newzel.
Present.
Thank you. Bill Posner. Sarah Rahn.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semaphore. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. And Philip Weintraub. Okay. Chair Calabia, that concludes the roster for today's bus and rail subcommittee meeting. At this time, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Yes, we have an agenda to deal with. Do you want to go through the agenda for approval? Anu?
She just yes. did, so I'll.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're moving the agenda?
Yes. Second.
And I'll second. I guess it was Sandy moved and I seconded.
Yes. Okay. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The agenda
Aye.
Is. Yes, thank you. The agenda is adopted. The meeting minutes from November. It was a lengthy discussion of bus flags design by Teddy Krolik, whose baby may have arrived by now, hopefully. anyway, that was the major item for November. There was some minor discussions. You all have seen the draft. All in favor of adopting
Tino, before that, can I just make a minor change? I was quoted as saying I approved one kind of bus flag sign, and what I was really trying to say is I need to see it in person before I can decide whether light on dark or dark on light is better.
Okay. So we'll approve it, and will you have a chance to look it over?
Teddy said we'd be able to see the bus signs in person sometime soon-ish. So,
okay, so we have to wait for that time.
Right.
I
think we can. Sorry, this is Sarah. I think we can approve it with modifications.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And I would second that.
Good. All in favor then of the minutes with that proviso?
Aye.
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 The minutes are approved, and hopefully we'll get a chance to see the outdoor signs real soon. Now we'll start the agenda. let's see. We have, you know, I don't have the agenda in front of me at the moment.
Chair Calabria, this is Anu. So we do have Charlie Dingboom, and he will provide an update about Better Bus.
Okay. Let's start then. Your presentation, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Charlie Dingboom. I am a planning manager for the Office of Bus Planning here at WMATA. I'm a white male with medium length brown hair and a beard. We're in a burgundy shirt. As you all know, or mostly aware of, in June of 2025, we rolled out our Better Bus Network redesign. It was the first time that the Metro Bus Network in its entirety was completely overhauled since the inception of WMATA. Now, in December of 2025, we have our first of our regular annual, semi-annual bus service changes. This is the time when we make changes to the routes, but that bus operators are also able to make their pick for the services that they want to operate. And so in this meeting today, I'd like to walk you all through the changes that are going to be incorporated in that December 14 service change. I'm going to be sharing materials that are already published on WMATA's public-facing webpage. So I'll bring that up here. Is everyone able to see the website?
I see it.
Great.
I see.
As mentioned, the December 14th Sunday service will be the first, or be the inception of the December 2025 service changes. This is our first opportunity to address issues that we have noticed arose with the inception of the Better Bus Network in June. So a lot of these changes are looking to address deficiencies in the network or areas that were overserved in the network redesign and trying to right size service. But there's also a few elements that are a little bit larger. So I'll move through the larger items before moving through a quick summary of the major or the more minor changes. So the first thing that we want to highlight as part of the December service changes is the establishment of a new A29 Metro bus route in Virginia. And so this is going to be a rush hour peak direction only service that will run in the mornings from Van Dorn Street Station to Metro Center downtown using the I-395 express lanes. It'll make stops in the Beauregard Street area, Mark Center, Southern Towers, and Shirlington before finishing in Metro Center. It'll do the reverse trip in the PM peak period. And in both of those periods, the buses will run every 24 minutes. This is a new route that is being funded through the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission and VTC's I-395-95 Commuter Choice Grant Program. So essentially, this is funded from the express lanes tolls through a grant process. And so this route is funded through part of that funding element.
Charlie, is that unique, the funding of it?
No, this is a thing that has been used a couple times before, and we're also going to look to leverage it in the future. The funding grant has to have some element in the application of recognition that the money generated from the tolls are benefiting people within that same corridor. So essentially, the money from the tolls has to generate towards transit improvements or transportation improvements along the same corridor.
Is Virginia the only one that's funding, helping to fund a route that way?
There are, I believe there might be other grant application areas that are sort of in the area, but not in the same level. This is a large project that NVTC has been working on for several years as they've implemented these express lane items. So they're the most prominent one that fund these sorts of services in our service system.
Thanks, Charlie.
Also want to highlight a couple other significant changes that are more than the smaller changes. So in DC, we are extending Route C63 that currently terminates at the Washington Hospital Center complex and the VA Hospital. And we're extending that to the west to connect to Georgia Avenue Petworth Station. And so that will provide additional connectivity for customers trying to get to Washington Hospital Center and the VA Hospital from points west, with a direct connection from the Georgia Avenue Petworth Metrorail station. We're also addressing some crowding issues on the C11 along Mount Martin Luther King Avenue Southeast, with some additional trips in the peak period where we were noticing crowding on that route due to high customer demand. In Maryland, we're shifting routes M42 and M44 over to Plum Orchard Drive. And that's again to better serve the Adventist White Oak Medical Center and other destinations along that corridor, as well as improving connectivity and transfer points to other bus routes. There are a number of other smaller changes that I will run through. Please, anyone feel free to chime in if they have questions as I'm going through these. Again, as I mentioned, the C11 is going to get additional trips to the weekday rush hour schedule between Anacostia and Eastover Shopping Center for crowding issues. The C25 and 26 is being redirected slightly so that we don't have to make an out-of-the-way connection to Congress Heights in order to make a connection turn for the buses. So we're making a more direct route between Skyland and Anacostia using Savannah Street. And at the Skyline end of the route, service is being moved to terminate behind the Skyline Shopping Center due to road safety improvements being made by DDOT. For the C27 in Southeast, buses are going to operate via Southern Avenue, 22nd Street, and 25th Street between Mississippi and Alabama Avenue. And this is for some more direct connectivity, as well as to align buses along a similar route that the D10 runs to address neighborhood concerns about buses running through residential areas. In the C35 in Fort DuPont, we're changing the terminal point to 37th Street and Ridge Road. The C37 temporary routing at via Southern Avenue is going to become permanent and be reflected in all the data planning apps. So that was an early change that we made in Better Bus for routing concerns that we're just going to make permanent. The C55 for the short routes that run between Lafont Plaza and Buzzard Point, the terminal and Buzzard Point will move from V Street to Half Street and T Street. The C63, I already covered that extension to George Avenue Petworth to provide connectivity to Washington Hospital Center from points west. The C87 trips will operate between Silver Spring and Tenleytown rather than Silver Spring and Van Ness. And there will be some trips that will be extended to Mount Pleasant at peak hours to address connectivity for students and other users during the peak periods. The D1X is going to be extended from its existing terminal at Archives Station to Federal Triangle at 10th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue. And that was to address terminal capacity and service reliability issues for that route. The D32 will also be making a change to the Federal Triangle terminal instead of its current terminal at Gallery Place. And again, that's to address crowding for the multiple routes that were terminating at Gallery Place and Archives and moving to the underserved terminal at Federal Triangle. The D34, there was a small issue with the road network where there was a sort of out-of-the-way connection using Hamilton Street to get to Queens Chapel Road. There's a more direct connection via Eger Road, so this change will just have the buses basically cutting the corner of the routing and not having to go out of their way to get on and off of Queens Chapel Road. The D74 and D96, there's a long-term project to deck over the portion of Connecticut Avenue directly north of DuPont Circle. We're on a 12 to 18 month detour for those routes around that construction area. So we are programming in that detour routing into all the trip planning apps, so they'll be reflected in MetroPulse and other electronic trip planning systems. So those are the changes in DC. Before I move on to Maryland, any questions on any of those?
Well, in general, there were a number of routes that were cut. Have any of them been restored, whether it's in Virginia, DC, or Maryland?
We've not restored any routes wholesale. We've looked at areas that maybe had some capacity issues, as I mentioned, for like the C11, and where we could put additional trips out for that, but we have not made any wholesale restorations of prior routes from Be Better Bus.
Anyone else? Hands up.
Chair Calabria, this is Anil. We don't have any hands up at this time.
Okay,
Hi,
Charlie.
excuse me. This is Philippe. I couldn't get my hand up fast enough. I was glad to see that you've made some modifications to the Washington Hospital Center. But one of the complaints I've heard was that the buses were not taking, especially the veterans, up to the hospital as it once did, and that people were hopping off the bus with crutches and one leg and wheelchairs, I mean, walkers, etc. So I was just wondering, is the bus going to make the stop that it previously made at the facilities on the hospital center ground campus?
We still have our one crosstown route, which is the replacement for the H2 to H4. That will not be going into the bus loops. That is a little bit more of a crosstown connector route with a higher frequency. and going into those loops really takes a long time for the buses for it, and it's not the primary ridership for that. We, by making the adjustment on the C63 and providing that additional connection to the west, that will have another bus from points west of Washington Hospital Center to get to those loops because the C63 will be going in those loops. So the hope is that the C63 change will address the concerns of people wanting to be able to get to the front door of the hospital loops of Washington Hospital Center or the VA hospital by providing that additional connection from points west. I was going to cover a little bit later, not
Okay.
in route specific items. I also know that there was that stop on First Street that the bus, the crosstown bus that doesn't go in the loops was stopping at. That has been improved. We worked with the VA hospital and Washington Hospital Center, and the fence was moved to allow for the pouring of a adequate ADA pad for that stop, as well as tying that into the crosswalk up to Virginia Hospital Center. So for people who have a little bit better mobility that want to, they have the option to use that stop on First Street and make the short walk or wheelchair trip up the hill to the Virginia hospitals or to the VA hospital.
Up the hill. That must be really nice for people on crutches.
Well, again, we do have the other routes that do front, that do have the front door service.
Okay, I'll see what I hear next. Thank you.
All right, I will proceed on to the Maryland updates. For the M22, we are just relocating which bay at Bethesda Station the bus is stopping at to get that bus out of the way of other buses that are coming in so we don't get bottlenecks within the station area. So that will be at Bay A. The M42 and M44, I covered the routing to rerouting those routes over to Plum Orchard Drive to get towards Adventist White Oak Medical Center. That will also move to Bay A on Marinelli Road at North Bethesda rather than Bay D on Rockville Pike. The M52 is getting an additional southbound trip to Silver Spring, and that's in response to ridership and crowding issues that we'd seen on that route. The P1X is getting some additional stops added on Rhode Island Avenue at Charles Armitage Drive. And again, that's an area that we were seeing demand for people getting on and off the route that we didn't have the stop. So we're establishing that stop for that route. The P15 is getting two northbound trips towards Adelphi on the weekday schedule. And that's again in response to ridership and crowding. The P35 is moving the eastbound buses to New Carrollton to Bay H. And again, that's to sort of get the buses out of the way of each other at the station. P62 is adding two northbound trips to Deanwood to address crowding in the morning. The P66 is getting two additional westbound trips to Suitland in the morning for crowding. And the P72 is getting one additional trip departing the Bowie Park and Ride at 4:53 in the morning to address crowding. So Virginia or Maryland had some mostly crowding oriented items other than the M42 and M44 routing change. In Virginia, the A11 and A12 schedules are being a bit better coordinated to sort of provide more consistent service options for riders that are able to take either of their routes between Old Town Alexandria and Mount Vernon and South Glebe Road. So previously we had a couple of those buses coming right behind each other. So we're trying to stagger them a bit in between each other to give more reliable service for customers in that same corridor. The A1X, the southbound buses towards Braddock Road Station are going to move to South Bell Street and South Clark Street in Crystal City. This was a long-term detour for construction in the Crystal City area that has now ended. So we're restoring that service back to the normal route and reflecting that in the trip planner changes. The A25 route for Pentagon to Landmark is getting a frequency improvement to every 15 minutes from every 30 minutes. In response to ridership. And again, this is another element that's being funded through the NVTC Commuter Choice Grant Program. The A29 we covered at the very beginning. That's the new route between Van Dorn Street and Metro Center during the peaks. The A40, the late night route for the A40 goes to LaFont Plaza, and we're moving that terminal to D Street and 6th Street Southwest. And that's just for, again, the multiple late night routes that come in towards LaFont Plaza in the overnight hours, making sure they all don't land on top of each or stack up on top of each other in the same area. The A66 is getting service in Pentagon City in the weekday rush hours, expanding it to non-rush direction and improving connections between Pentagon City and Shirlington for customers who could use either that route or the A27. So again, this is trying to coordinate multiple routes for customers and making sure that they have multiple options or choices for their destination for similar corridors. The F20 at West Falls Church, the eastbound buses towards Old Town King Street, they're going to move to Bay F, and the westbound buses, the Tysons, are going to move to Bay E. There's some station reconstruction and development occurring at that location, so we're programming this into the schedule to get the buses on the right side of the station to accommodate that development. And then finally, on the F28, there's one eastbound trip to the Pentagon that's being added to the schedule in the morning to reduce crowding. So again, all of this information is available on our public-facing website. It is the service advisory for the December 14th service change. I believe I also provided the link to Anu, who can add it to the meeting notes or share it with the committee separately. And I do see there's a hand up.
Yes, just one general question. Since now the bus routes have been semi-finalized, I guess there will be changes made down the road, but the promised routes, the routes that were promised by December, which you've just enumerated and described, will there now be printed brochures for each of the routes? That is, the times that they will arrive at different stops on their way to the endpoint?
There aren't paper timetables being established for these routes. We do know that this is something that is of interest to certain communities of riderships. Of customers. It is something that we are working through with the customer experience team. We're trying to establish a improved process for being able to generate timetables using the WMATA website and making something that's a very simple print at home style timetable. And I am also trying to encourage that we look into whether we need to have the accessibility center at LaFont headquarters be able to have a supply of some of those or be able to print some of those to demand for customers. So we recognize that that is something that is desired. Us in the bus planning side are working and expressing that as a need. And we're trying to work through the process for how to do that without having to go through the expensive and time-consuming process of printing off numerous paper timetables that become out of date very quickly. So we are trying to strike the balance of making sure that we get that information to those who need it, but that we aren't overexpending resources on printing things that will just be out of date quickly.
Those who need it not only includes residents of our jurisdictions, but also visitors. I know that they're always having to ask these station managers what times or where they can get. So I understand the problem of getting anything printed soon or with enough changes, but it's not just us residents, it's also visitors. Thank you. Hands up, Anu.
Here, Calabria, we have three members with their hands up. First is Steve Caffin, followed by Sandy Newsell, and then Philippa Mazzell. So please, Steve, unmute yourself and go ahead with your question.
Okay, thank you. Steve Caffin, Caucasian, wearing a blue shirt and short hair these days. I have black hair. Charlie, great presentation. Thank you for all the detail. It's impressive how you and your team have been following the detail in order to make these kinds of changes. I have a couple of quick points from my observations. One is the D90 bus, which serves the embassies and also serves American University. During last summer, it was pretty quiet. The embassies were, the people went home for long periods, and AU was pretty much closed. I see too many people waiting long periods of time, particularly at the various embassy stops. And there's no other transportation for that, for that Massachusetts Avenue route except the D90. So would you take a look at the frequency and just see whether that's sufficient for the D90 along Massachusetts?
Yes, absolutely. And to just make a clear point, this was our first opportunity to look at the performance of the Better Bus Network. As you alluded to, there was a lot of, summertime data that was within that, as well as a very short period of actual Better Bus time for us to actually analyze the data before we were finalizing these changes for December. We were sort of wrapping up a lot of these changes in October. So that only gave us a few months worth of data. So we will obviously still continue to look at the performance for this. The next major service change opportunity is in June of 26. So we will absolutely probably have at least this volume of changes, if not more, to address things that we're seeing in the data between now and then.
Okay, I have something else.
Yeah.
You've probably been to Columbia Road these days and have seen the backup of one or two blocks as the two lanes in each direction became one in order to put the bicycle lanes in. And if you recall, the residents and the small businesses that depend on quick in and out parking were not consulted. And that was that for these lanes, that a decision was made at City Hall with whatever happened. And what I'm seeing is the buses and traffic, but particularly the buses we care about, being backed up a block or two because of the one lane, and the bicycle lanes essentially often being empty. So that's a precursor for the future on how this should be approached. Before this impact, I have a question. The islands took the place of shelters and adjacent bus stops. Now that the weather is becoming inclement, people are vulnerable standing for long periods in the islands. Should they be standing still in the shelters? And if they do, should the drivers be instructed to look at those shelters before moving on from that stop those stops?
So
Question. That's a question.
I can tell you that the operators are trained and instructed to be looking in shelters for customers, and that is also part of the reasoning for the specific location of where shelters are placed. There are a few, rare instances where it's actually recommended not to place a shelter too far away because it would make it difficult for the operator to be able to capture whether someone is waiting in the shelter for that. So we do work through that both with our own internal bus transportation folks to make sure that the operators are doing that, as well as we coordinate with DDOT on those sorts of installations, since DDOT is the party responsible for the installation and maintenance of the shelters in the district.
Okay, thanks very much, Charlie. Thank you.
Next.
Chair Calabria, next would be Sandy Neuzel, followed by Philippa Mazzell. Sandy, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Charlie, for the presentation. You mentioned a couple of routes that were being changed back to because road construction was ending, and that those would be reflected in Trip Planner. But just for clarification, all of the route and schedule changes will be reflected in Trip Planner?
Yeah, so to clarify, what I was referring to is we had some changes for projects that had been completed between the Better Bus implementation in June and December. And so when those end in between our picks, we don't have the opportunity to do the large update to the trip planner. They immediately will come off of whatever detour, but we have that mismatch between what the trip planner app is able to show. So it's not saying that things don't normally get updated or that these other changes wouldn't be updated. We're just sort of flagging that we have this opportunity to make the trip planner app reflect the service that is out there.
And just for my education, is Trip Planner what is used by other third-party apps like Move It and other people that can tell you, I want to catch a bus or I want to go from here to there? And these apps are, global. They
Yes.
work in many cities. Okay.
Yeah, so apologies. When I say Trip Planner, I'm sort of using that as a catch-all term for it.
Okay.
Both the Metro Pulse app, which is our main trip planning app, as well as the sort of third-party apps like Move It, the Google Maps, all those sorts of things, they all are using the same data source on the back end. So when I say the trip planners will be updated, I'm referring to the data that all of those apps are pulling from.
Excellent. Thank you.
Now, I can't promise that an individual company is going to do it on the very first day. They're usually very good about it. But the data for them to be able to pull and update that will be accessible. So it might be on them to make sure that they did it in time, but they will have access to it.
Thank
Okay.
you.
And next will be Philippa, and I see Steve raised his hand again. So Philippa, go ahead.
Okay, hello again. I consider myself like the typical consumer. We just kind of just go to the bus stop that we're used to going to, and we expect, that the bus will be there. I mean, we recognize that some stops have been removed. But I had two questions. The primary bus lines I use are on 14th Street. Now, sometimes I've been standing at 14th and Florida Avenue on 14th Street northbound. And I've had not one, not two, but three buses go past me. And then another time I was on the bus, I think I got on maybe at U Street, and someone immediately pulled the cord, but the bus didn't stop until P Street. So I'm wondering, is there some sort of express on 14th Street that I'm not aware of?
Yeah, there is the D5X, which is the limited stop
The
version
X,
for that, versus the D50, the D50.
okay.
And so there is a possibility that the D5X will not make all the stops along the corridor, whereas the D50 makes all the locals.
Okay, and one more thing. Because I don't even know exactly where the bus no longer stops when I'm traveling on 14th Street, or not on the X, but on the regular. So can they just make sure, I know if this may not be under your purview, but pass it on to whoever's purview it is. Please make sure the enunciators are on and say, that when somebody pulls the cord, it says the next stop is P Street or whatever. Because it used to do that. It would say next stop P or stop requested P Street, something like that. And
Yep,
now I don't
I'll
hear.
pass that along.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and next will be Steve and then Swatha. So Steve, go ahead.
Just one thing. Is Sarah Meyer on? I saw a little message. If Sarah's on, maybe we can hear from her before we hear from Steve a second time.
Hi, Tino. Yes, I'm here. Sarah Meyer, Chief Customer Officer with WMATA, and just wanted to clarify some items on the timetables. The data for the schedules is literally being updated as we speak this hour. It will be updated on our website tomorrow and available to all GTFS exports, those third-party providers starting tomorrow. We will give them a call and make sure that they update their schedules. They've been really helpful to us, and we've had a really good relationship recently. So I don't expect any delays to the data. I did want to mention that we do have the print at home timetable feature available. And again, the data will be there tomorrow so that you can put in your location where you would like the bus to pick you up, and then that location will render that exact schedule time, and it will then you can have a printed timetable that shows the font of that information in an accessible format. As we all know, the old timetables of the past are incredibly hard to read. And so we've done all we can to get the information to be self-service and to be relevant to the this exact stop that you are looking for, rather than present every single stop on a very long and hard to read page. I'm happy to keep talking on this, and excited to make more the schedule information more accessible for everybody.
Thank you, Sarah. Steve was next.
Thank you. Charlie, a question about the screens, the NextBus screens in the shelters. For stops that have multiple buses using them, the screens, there may be two or three screens covering because what's covered is not just the next bus, but also the subsequent buses. In fact, at the epitome is at the corner of Wisconsin and Albemarle, which I think covers four buses, and it's showing as late as 30 minutes for some of the buses. The big problem is the screens iterate at the same at the same frequency. So not just the first next bus will have, let's say, 10 seconds open, but the following and the next following and the last two screens are really irrelevant to what the people are waiting for. I wonder if you're taking Sarah. Well, Sarah, it looks like you're nodding.
I am, Steve, and I'm so happy we've that you're bringing this up. We've noticed the same thing. There are software updates going out to every single one of those screens as we speak. I saw one in Friendship Heights this morning that's no longer showing that third or fourth page of arrivals and just showing the first page, which is definitely the more relevant and helpful data for us. So take a look when you get home today or this week and see if the screen is doing that, and if it's not, just reach out to me and I'll see where it is in the queue.
All right, could I, and since you're on, Sarah, could I ask you, it's a cost benefit standpoint. You know, when they paint the entire buses, depending upon the color, they can look nice or they can look terrible. There are some black buses riding around now, and I recall there are now also some totally yellow buses.
Yes.
And I know, I'm sure there's some money that's coming in, but I'm wondering if the cost versus benefit of those versus just using those screens is being considered in making that decision.
Yes, thanks, Steve. So you're referring to we have a run an advertising concession where we sell advertising on our buses. That this is a pretty lucrative contract for us. It brings about $25 million a year to our operating funds. Of course, we would prefer not to have advertising on our buses, but we do. We are asked by our jurisdictional partners to do what we can to bring in revenue from other sources. So we do have that advertising concession currently running. And
Although Sarah, I'm not talking about that absolutely. I think most bus systems in the country these days seem to be going to it. But I've noticed, and this is fairly recently, that entire buses are being painted over, not just the screens and the signs that we know, but we're seeing totally black buses riding around advertising a Virginia university, and I
right.
think there's a contractor using entirely yellow buses,
Right.
which is a variety of what we've seen in the past, and I'm wondering if there truly is a benefit versus cost in that.
Well, I think if you ask the advertisers, there is definitely a benefit, right? Because you and I are both noticing that the buses are yellow and seeing the ads more than we would if they were just using the side panels.
Fair.
So that's why it's interesting to them. That being said, we are currently piloting a new digital screen on the sides of our on one bus. It's on one bus right now. We hope that that will be sort of our future, instead of doing large scale wraps. But we see where the market dictates and what our jurisdictional partners are asking us to do. But that would be great if we could just keep the advertisements to that digital panel below the windows, that's curbside. I think we would all be happy with that if we could do that.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks, Charlie.
Who is next, Anu, after
Uh,
Steve?
Chair Kalabian, next is Swetha.
all right. So for the new A29 bus route, where will it stop? Metro Center. Where will it like? Where will what crosswalk? Like where will it stop? Is there like a bus bay or like a crosswalk?
I off the top of my head don't have the crosstown. After we finish this agenda item, I'll go off camera, I'll find that, and I'll drop that location in the chat.
All right, thank you.
Chair Kalabi, this is Anu. We don't have any additional hands up at this point.
So, Anu, before we move on, I did just want to highlight one more thing. We do have items that are in the board presentation for this week. That are going to cover the FY27 budget proposal for service changes. So I just want to call to people's attention that there are some slides in that deck, particularly in the appendix, that are highlighting some of the proposed changes. I won't go through them here. I just want to make sure that people see these slides and know that they're available. And I have shared that link with you to share with the committee.
Great, thanks. Any other comments on the new slides that were just shown?
Chair Calabria, this is Anu. We don't have any additional hands up.
Okay, well then, Charlie, many thanks for your presentation and explanations. And Sarah, we're glad that you had a chance to talk to us too about some of the questions we were raised. So we return to the agenda.
Yes. So the next topic of discussion is by Jamie Ernst. To discuss station ahead maps.
Okay.
Yes.
Jamie?
Yes, I'm on. Hi, good afternoon. Do I need to share my screen and put up the presentation?
If you would like, you can, sure.
Okay, either way is fine for
It's
this
totally,
moment.
yeah, it's totally up to you.
Does this work for everyone?
I can see it.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. So my name is Jamie Ernst. I'm the project manager for wayfinding and service information at WMATA. Thank you so much for having me. Also on the call, we have Brian Anderson, who is the Director of Customer Technology and Innovation. So I'd like to give you an update on our station ahead maps. So I'll start with a brief overview and background of station ahead maps themselves. Then I'll go through our proposed design and highlight some features. And then the most important part is I'd like to hear from this group and get your feedback. And then we'll go through next steps. So a station ahead map, formerly called a station ahead list, is one product in our broader wayfinding system. With two primary purposes: to orient a customer where they are in the system and then what stops are ahead of them. As you can see in the photos on the right, there are varying iterations of So I'll call them SAMs as well, but station ahead maps throughout the system. Some of them are trackside, like the example at Fort Totten on the bottom. Many are on pylons, like the example shown here at Mount Vernon Square. And then some stations only have digital station ahead maps. So one of the goals of redesigning the station ahead maps is to introduce consistency throughout the system. And we have a few goals of this redesign, one of which is using text, color, and symbols to communicate. In order to introduce consistency, we also want to maintain a vertical orientation for all of the SAMs. And we also want to create a design that doesn't skip stations. So this means that whenever a customer uses the SAM, they can always find their station, and that we're not prioritizing one station over another. So when we're thinking about how the station ahead maps fit into the customer journey, there's three primary questions. So the SAMs are answering, where is my train? Which train do I get on? And then is my destination ahead? So often the SAMs act as a second point of confirmation once you get to the platform level. So the system map being the first, you look and find your station, and then the customer uses the SAM as a second point of confirmation when they get to the platform. So I'll now go through our updated design and call out some features in particular. The first of which is a minimal, simplified design that's intended to lessen the cognitive load for the customer. And then you'll notice at the bottom, the station that you currently are at is highlighted in the white rectangle. And then there's a navigational arrow that's meant to mimic the arrow on many common navigational tools. So Google Maps and Apple Maps. So typically the arrow pointing up means what indicates what's ahead of you. So this is meant to mimic a system that many customers are familiar with. We also have introduced a more uniform appearance for the regional connectors, so Amtrak, MARC, and VRE. So these are easier to read rather than using each operator's logo, and also introduce more consistency throughout the system. So here are a few examples on how the SAMs look on different lines. So this is the red line, one of the more straightforward lines in the system. You can see that as you move towards the end of the line, the text gets larger because we're showing less stations. And here you can see it on one of the more complex lines. So this is the blue line. You can see the branches on the left off to the silver line and the yellow line, but it's showing the same principle. The station where you are in the rectangular box, the navigational arrow, and then the font size increases as you move towards the end of the line. So we will evaluate each station individually for placement options, but these are the general conditions throughout the system. You have large pylons, the small pylons on the platform. You have the rounded columns and then rectangular columns. And these are the placement options you'd see for each of these conditions. The SAMs will point towards the track that they correspond to, and pairs will be placed beside each other. And in terms of sizing throughout the system, where you have these two typical cases, the small pylons are generally 11.5 inches wide, while the large ones are 23.5 inches wide. And if at all possible, we want to use the large pylons when they exist because this guarantees the largest text height. So our next steps here are we are now currently in the refinement phase. So I presented to the RAC last week. We are presenting to you to get feedback, and we'll continue to refine the designs based on that. Then we'll move towards getting internal approval and create master production files. We'll then pilot the SAMs at selected metro stations and then refine if necessary based on feedback. And then the SAMs will be incorporated into our larger guidelines manual, and we'll work with facilities for system-wide implementation. So that is all for my presentation, but I would love to hear from you and gather any feedback you might have, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jamie. We have scheduled time for one of our members, Sandy Neusel, who's done a lot of homework on signage in stations. But one thing you haven't mentioned, since restrooms are becoming more and more available as weeks and months go by, where will the signage be for the restrooms?
The restroom question, I can't speak to. I have not been involved in that project. I'm not sure if Sarah or Brian know the answer to that. I'm happy to answer any questions, particularly about the SAMs. And if there are other questions, I can certainly take them back and work with my colleagues to get those answers for you.
Okay, if you could take that back. I've been to Seattle recently and they have great signage indicating where restrooms are, and they have great restrooms too. It's a newer system, so they could afford to have very great restrooms, but the signage is both needed and is there in Seattle, and eventually we should have signage for our restrooms as well. Next, Anu.
May I just
So,
jump in on
Chair.
that? Just
Sure,
to
Brian, go ahead.
help out. So while we don't have any direct answer on the next steps for bathroom signage, I can say that there are members of our team who are working on it. So one, to make the signage in brand, which is better color and iconography. And then we're also just currently doing a study of the bathrooms to understand their accessibility. So to the question, right, we're able to call them out when possible, but we're just continuing to work and refine our strategy internally first.
Thank you, Charlie.
Hi, Tino. This is Maggie. If you don't mind, just to add to Brian. So the assessments have been complete for the restrooms, and we will have a update report for you all in January.
Okay, good. Thank you. Next, Anu, hands up.
Sure. So, Chair Calabria, we have four AAC members in this order with their hands up. First is Philippa, followed by Sandy Neusel, then Steve Caffin, and then Sarah Raj. So Philippa Mazzell, please go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say thank you. I am so grateful. There was a time when L'Enfant Plaza gave me nightmares after they snatched the old station ahead signs out, and I was advocating for them to be put back, and I was getting every excuse under the sun. Oh, we're adding more stations. The list will be too long. It'll go all the way down to the floor. But you all have found perfect solutions. And the first time that I was in L'Enfant Plaza on the lower level, especially southbound, I was able to, follow the electronic thing. It was intuitive. I immediately understood it. It let me know exactly which one of those many train lines I was supposed to get on and so forth. So I just want to say kudos. Thank you. It's wonderful. When I went out with Sandy, we looked at some, and there may be areas of improvement, but for me, at least, I'm glad that when I see them, they are, they're clear. I can walk right up to them and see them since I'm low vision. So thank you very much. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you for your comment.
Next.
Excuse me, next will be Sandy Neusel. Sandy, go ahead.
Hi, this is Sandy. I agree with Philippa that station ahead signage is improving all the time. You didn't mention a couple of things on the wall signs that have the stations at an angle. Are those going to be changed? Those
So the ones, are you referring to the ones that are on the track side, like not
Yes.
on pylons? So
Not on
our
pylons.
intention is to have all of eventually have all of our station head maps be vertical just for consistency and then for ease of maintenance, because we have to get track rights and reserve them in advance in order to change out or maintain the horizontal station head maps. So to introduce consistency and then also for ease of maintenance, and we're trying to have them all vertical.
Okay, so some of the station ahead maps that I'm talking about are on walls that are this right directly beside platforms. They're not on the other side of tracks. But whatever. Okay. Okay,
Not
then.
Jamie, I can help you.
Okay, great.
So yeah, the as Jamie mentioned, that the goal is to move all the signs to vertical orientation. So
Okay.
yes, while many are across the track, like the illustration at Fort Totten, if you look at a station like a Gallery Place, a Judiciary Square, or even a L'Enfant Plaza, the signs are also currently horizontally mounted. So the goal is to move them to pylons that are either holding up the passenger information displays or are, that serve as chillers or other functional furniture in the station. So it is easier to maintain, but more importantly, it'll allow customers to walk up closer to it and examine it, whether you're in a wheelchair or just need that extra view.
Okay.
So that's
Yes.
that, and there isn't a, there we do believe that there is a legibility issue that when you're not reading stations on the side and you're reading them from left to right as they would be on any sign, that it's more consistent.
Okay, so part two of my questions or comments. Did I understand correctly that on the vertical signs, you read from the bottom to the top, which is not the way I normally read anything?
So what we did is, like, as I mentioned, here we are. Navigational tools, when you use them, which many people are familiar with, the arrow at the indicating up means what is ahead of you. So that was the logic behind that decision.
I understand that logic, and we'll
Oh,
just
that's
all
different.
have to retrain ourselves. I mean, I wanted to joke around and say, now I'm standing on my head to read the sign, but we are trainable people, and if that arrow is supposed to grab our attention, maybe it needs to be beside where over to the left and a bigger arrow, I don't know. But eventually everybody will learn to read from the bottom to the top. Somebody just commented, we read left to right. I read top down normally. So that's why I'm being a buster pointing this out. Okay,
No,
thank
I
you.
appreciate the comment, and that is why we're here. And if we do need to make it clearer with making the arrow larger or any other refinements that we can make, we will do that.
Philippa,
Okay,
did
thank
you have something to add, Philippa?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say I did miss that it was from the bottom to the top because I read from the top down as I think most people do, but hopefully that arrow will make it very plain and clear. So, I didn't know if you were clear the kind of signs Sandy was talking about. It's like at Metro Center where the tracks, both tracks are in the middle and the platforms are on either side. And then on that wall behind the platform was where those signs were that we couldn't see with the,
Yes, got
yeah,
it.
okay. I just want to make sure.
Thank you. No, thank you for that clarification.
Who is next?
Okay, next will be Steve.
Thank you. These signs are helpful. I use them most of the time. I'm going from one place to another on a particular line. However, most people and certainly most tourists use two lines. They're staying in Virginia, or maybe they're staying at DuPont Circle and they're going to Arlington National Cemetery. Or, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, yeah.
We really have a we have a principally two or three a transit situation, and I think we fall down in the placement of the maps. I know we're not talking about maps today, but I thought I'd raise that because with the digital displays that we moved, that the system moved in, taking away the paper. The maps were placed in the middle of the station as opposed to near the escalators. It's at the escalators where people need the most. I know it's funny for me, I'm always looking at a map to determine whether it is Metro Center or it's Gallery Place that I need to transfer. And I've been on this system many, many years, and tourists do too. Many people don't even know there is a map in the center, and some of our constituents may not want to or be able to get all the way to the center, but will be at near the sides. So I'm just raising that because I know there are public service announcements that could perhaps be moved to the center, and those maps be moved near the escalators where they might be more visible. So thank you.
Oh, and just so I'm clear, you're referring to the system maps, yes?
Exactly, the system maps.
Okay, great. Thank
Exactly.
you.
And it's just a placement thing. The maps themselves are great.
Okay, thank you for that comment.
Okay, thank you. And next will be Sarah Rod, and then Sandy has additional comments or questions.
Yeah, hi. So I think some of my concerns have already sort of been touched on, but the first would be the up versus the down, and I totally understand what you're saying about it, that being the way people normally navigate. However, that is not the way the current signs work, as I recall. And so I want to make sure that, for consistency's sake, either we're changing the current signs too, or they're all going to be changed at once or something. Because if you've got one map that looks sort of like the other map and one's reading up and one's reading down, that's going to be really confusing. And then I wondered about, so Tino raised the issue of, our bathroom sign is going to be on there, but where are we planning on putting the ISIS symbols? Are those going to be on those signs? Are they still going to remain on the pillars somewhere? How are we going to direct people towards the accessible routes and the elevators? And then finally, in terms of placement of these signs, it was looking like these were at like standing people height as opposed to wheelchair height. So how are we going to navigate, people being able to see effectively?
So the idea is you can get close to these signs because they are on the pylons on the platform, but I will talk to our designers about the exact placement height on the pylons because I don't have that answer for you. In terms of, can you repeat your second question, please?
The ISIS symbol, the wheelchair symbol, how are we going to direct people? Because currently those are at the bottom of those pylons, at least in some of the pylons, which is coming up in the next discussion.
Yeah, I think that will be addressed maybe more accurately in the next discussion, but I will flag that as well.
Well, I mean, we were going to raise it. I know it's something on Sandy's list of things to talk about, but in terms of those signs, if they're replacing the current pylon messaging, then they need to be somewhere, either on the pylon itself or on the sign itself.
Yeah, that understood.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Sandy, go ahead.
Okay, this is Sandy again. I think slowly and come up with more questions. So, as a low vision person, you did mention that the more stations ahead, the smaller the font, but yet we could get up close to it, but yet the list will be covering a larger vertical distance, so we can't get up close to all of it easily. So I'm a little concerned, and I have to admit that when Sarah Myers introduced the gap in the station ahead list, I was very skeptical, but it did turn out to work help out. Okay, my second point is, as a low vision person who does not see colors very well at all, I see dark and light and in between. The width of the bands in the snail's trails that have been put up on many of the like circular columns in stations, the width of those tended to
Slow.
be good.
Is this what you mean?
Yes,
Okay.
yes. Although the other day I felt like I saw some narrower snail's trails, but regardless, the width of the snail's trails is helpful. I have a fighting chance of seeing the color and the way the snail trail splits and then the stations. This design is pretty good for me. But
Okay.
if you insist on going to the format that you just showed us, the colors lines are too narrow, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, and Sarah's point about yes, we read maps going away from us. You know, I'm starting here and a map takes me further to the north or south or east or west. So I guess reading up along that map when I'm in a car and Google Maps is taking me somewhere, but it's just not the first way I think about looking at a printed sign. So I just want to reiterate with Philippa that I think reading top to bottom makes more sense for more people.
No, I appreciate that comment. Thank you.
Also, I'm sorry, this is Sarah again. If I can chime in
Sure.
really quickly on something Sandy just said, again, also being low vision. I take it these are not going to be touch screens that then we could increase the font on, because certainly if there's a ton of small print on there, I'm not going to be able to read it either.
No, these are static maps. They're not touch screens. There will still be digital products within the system, but that's not what these are specifically. Okay.
Chair, can I help you? I'm sorry, was someone saying something?
I was just wondering,
I just wanted to add real quick
Oh, go ahead, Brian.
that Jamie didn't specifically call it out, but the beginning font size, it's on one of the slides, just but for this discussion, the beginning font size, as more stations are on the slide, on the sign, is a half an inch, and then
Correct.
scaling up to an inch
An
per
inch and a half.
station,
Yeah,
at
so the end of the
every
line
fewer
stops, though, that
stations.
font is an inch and a half high.
If that's helpful information for everyone.
Yes. Well, Sandy has some visual art to show herself. Do you want to do that now, Sandy?
No, I want to. My microphone was off when I was saying something. So, are you talking about the sign on the left? The font is getting bigger up at the top, an inch and a half, and yet it's a half an inch at the bottom. Is that what you were
No,
saying?
no, no. The station head maps that show the maximum number of stations. So, if you're at the end of a line, that font is half an inch, and then in the middle here, that font is an inch. And then the end of the line, we're at Twin Brook here, that font is an inch and a half.
Okay, I'm
So
going
the
to take
less
it.
stations that are shown, the larger the font gets.
I'm taking deep breath. I'm holding my head. When I am reading, a half an inch is what I'm comfortable with, 2 inches from my nose. Okay, that is really pushing the limits for many low vision people to be standing that close to a sign in a. I'm just very
Yeah.
skeptical of a half inch font.
So
So,
this is
Dan.
Sarah, if I can jump in to add to that question, how does that sizing compare to what's currently on those pylons? And then also, what is the there's an ADA requirement, like a minimum of some sort, right?
So half an inch is the same size as the system map currently. So if you can think about it that way, and this is sometimes the difficulty of seeing something on a screen versus seeing a prototype in real life, the font does probably appear small, like incredibly small, but it is the same size as what is on the system map at the smallest.
Thanks, Jamie. It's Sarah Meyer speaking, and I just wanted to acknowledge that none of this is ideal, right? We are looking at materials and a size of a pylon that was built that was not built to display a map. But we do have, right, and we acknowledge that these station ahead maps were removed throughout the system in favor of the raised lettering of the terminal station. And that raised lettering of the terminal station was from my perspective and from the many people that we surveyed, not enough information to give people the confidence that they were getting on the right train. So this asset isn't the most ideal for those with low vision. But I do think it is still extraordinarily important that we try and that we try to have this information available to those that can use it, in addition to the large digital screens that we also have available. So, we're going to keep iterating. What we did find out as soon as I removed information from the signs, if you guys remember that, to increase the font size. I took stations out of the station ahead map
Yes.
to make the fonts larger. Overwhelming surveys came back and said that that was not acceptable for the majority of customers. And they would prefer to see all of the stations listed than have some stations be removed. So we're definitely, balancing on a tightrope here that is tough. And I just want to acknowledge that this is not going to be for everybody, but we are going to try to give everybody something, right? Which is that we've worked really hard to enlarge in the font on the PIDs on the overhead signs so that those with low vision can really see the terminal stations. And we also have that raised lettering as well on the pylons that people will be able to access. Does that help answer some of your questions and concerns?
This is Sandy. Yes, and I applaud, commend you for trying so hard to please as many people as possible and having multiple formats of signs so that everybody has a fighting chance to find a sign system that works for them. So, I mean, I'm just giving you my critiques from
Thank
my
you, Sandy. And
perspective.
we hear you. And this is where I like literally my team is hears me in their dreams saying, is there any way we can make this font larger? Like, how do we do this? And we are, you can see we've even redesigned the MARC and Amtrak logo to be able to give us more room to be able to put those font sizes as large as possible to list the station aheads.
I'm sorry, this is Sarah again. So, do I understand that the old pylon signs are staying? These are just going to be additional signs, or are they being replaced?
It
Okay. Go ahead, Sarah.
depends on what you're referring to. So,
The ones that we're currently looking at right now, I don't know. Well, actually, I can't tell. But the ones that currently list the show the lines and then the stations that are on that line that are coming next.
this is what we would we this is we are presenting this information, these designs to you for feedback to implement them system-wide. So it would replace those pilot signs that we did at L'Enfant that removed some of the station names.
There's no way of increasing the font size on the left-hand illustration.
I think that the team will take one more pass and see what we can do.
Okay.
Okay, Brian.
Yes, we will.
Here, Calabria, this is when Philippa has raised her hand.
Okay. I just had another question about the bottom to top. How high or low is the bottom from the ground? I mean, are we talking 18 inches from the floor or 4 feet from the ground? Because a lot of times people stand in front of those, if you're talking about on the pylon, they'll stand in front and I can see over them to see, the top of which train is on that track. But I, trying to see around them, you're going to be constantly trying to get people to move. So I was just curious, how far is it from the ground, from the
If
bottom?
you give me one moment, we move on to the next presentation. I do
Okay.
have the number and I can put it in the
Great.
chat.
Thank you.
Sarah, I see you raised your hand.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. I was talking earlier. I wasn't couldn't tell if anybody could actually hear me or not. So I'm just trying to understand how many of these new signs are there going to be approximately in each station, and are they replacing all of the current pylon signs that do a similar sort of thing?
That is the intention, yes.
Okay, so if they don't have the current pylon signs that somebody with low vision can walk straight up to, where do we get our navigational information from?
So I suppose that would be the digital screens, and the font size will only be the smallest on at a station that has to show every subsequent station at the end of the line. As you get towards the middle and towards the end, the font size does increase.
I also want to mention, Sarah, that a lot of our stations had these signs removed. So currently there isn't anything.
Oh.
Right. I was at
Yes.
Boggy Bottom yesterday, and there wasn't a station ahead map.
Anywhere?
I
Yeah.
didn't walk up and down the platform, but it wasn't at, when I got off the escalators, I did not see one there.
That was also true last time I was at Federal Triangle.
So I do know that before I arrived, there was a initiative to remove the station ahead maps, to replace them instead with raised lettering that just listed the terminal. And that's what I've been, I really feel very strongly that we try to bring these assets back to help customers ensure that they know which train to get on.
Yes, I'm with you. I think that is definitely better. I've had that. I have run into that where I have gone and I'm like, okay, I don't know the end of the line.
Right.
I know where I'm trying to get to, but I'm just curious. So, I mean, if these are not going to be accessible, and I get it. I am sympathetic that not, there's a very few of us that have low vision, and you can't cater just to us all the time. That you've got to meet the general public where they are. But I guess my question is, where is the equivalent? Where can we find that equivalent information that we can access?
And this is where I think, right, we should print these out and see how we do.
Yeah, or see some in person, maybe.
Yep. Yes, yeah.
Hi there. Can I interject? Sam Sarabin, product manager for Wayfinding and Service Info, and I'm sorry that I can't be on camera right now. I'm commuting home. But I one thing I want to say is that it's very important to see these things in person in the real world. As a UX designer for 25 plus years, accessibility is one of the highest principles that we design to. And so we're trying to create a system that's going to be accessible for everybody, everybody. If we can design a good system for the most challenged in the variety of ways that we all experience challenges, we'll design a good system. I think it's really important to stress that we've designed a system that is responsive to the palette that we have, the size, backdrop we have to work with. And we're going to try to ensure that the font sizes are as large as possible in every situation. What you are seeing on the left-hand side is the absolute worst case scenario. It is on a small pylon at the very end of a line. But we want to be very realistic and truthful about what we depict and show, because that will happen at times. But whenever possible, we're going for the largest type size that we can while including all the information that is available.
Well, actually, Sandy has done a lot of artwork herself for presenting at this particular meeting. Sandy, do you want to show some of your illustrations?
Tino, this is Sandy. I was not addressing this topic in my signage discussion today. And did I just hear a moment ago that there's a second presentation that we're supposed to be receiving here? Or did I misunderstand what our presenter, Jamie, said? Jamie, were you
I
saying
don't
that?
have another presentation. I
Oh,
apologize if I
okay.
made that
Okay.
impression.
Okay, then I'll just say I would love to see these in person, whether it's at a sign shop, on a mock-up pylon, or
Yeah.
at a station. This would be very helpful because, you know, maybe I'm misremembering how big the information on the snail trails are. Maybe this is just as good, but seeing it in person would help. And yes, WMATA does have the issue of trying to satisfy as many people as possible. And like Sarah Rott said, us low vision people aren't everybody, but we do have our, we are outspoken.
Jamie and Sarah Meyer, is it possible to do a mock-up which could be seen at the L'Enfant Plaza headquarters?
We do have some on paper at our headquarters right now, actually.
Would they be useful for us without having to develop entirely new ones?
I mean, we have them mocked up so you could see them in person.
Okay. Well, Anu, maybe you can help arrange a time when some
Yes.
or all of us can go down to L'Enfant Plaza to see them.
Yeah, we're happy to do that.
Okay. It's not quite 5:30, so we do have some time. Do you want to introduce any of your illustrations and text?
Sure.
They are related.
Yeah. And I want to thank Jamie and Sarah for and the other fellows who spoke. Thank you for presenting this to us and explaining it. And yes, I'm happy to start my presentation, and maybe we can get two or three out of the five topics before time's up and we need to go to public
Sure.
comment.
Okay,
Yeah,
go.
thank you very much for having me, and I appreciate your feedback.
This is Anu, Chair Calabia, and Sandy. I will share my screen to display your topic. So give me one quick moment.
I hope Jamie's still here.
I am still here. I just turned my video off, but I am still here.
So, Sandy, this is Anu. I do have the first page up, and I
Okay.
will along as you go further.
Okay, so I'm just going to sort of, why don't you go another screen? There we go, stop there. So just by way of background, and I hope everybody can hear me, this has been going on for a while, but Sarah Meyer's team has presented stuff to us and asked us questions. We've been on site visits. We discuss it. We assume that WMATA can hear what we're saying, but I guess I'm trying to dot the I's and cross the T's and try to put this into recommendations so that WMATA hears our recommendations collectively from the AAC, and the AAC has something to refer back to if we want to. And you know, if we make recommendations, maybe we can even share it with the RAC, so to speak. But that's why I'm going to the trouble of trying to pull this presentation together. So the presentation, as I was working on it over this past week, had about 9 or 10 topics, and I decided that was totally impossible. So tonight, let's just start with where are the signs for wheelchair access, you know, accessibility to elevators in metro stations, and all of the topics tonight have to do with in metro rail stations. How do you find the exits? Because there's some nomenclature confusion on exits. A, B, C, D has been added, and street information is, I guess it's been there for a while, but how do we coordinate those two and make sense out of them? The rail lines to points of interest like airports, I think it's great that airport information has been added. Access to customer restrooms. I don't even think we're going to get to restrooms tonight, but let's go to the next slide. And I want to show pictures to explain my points, and then I sent it around to everybody just before the meeting. You may not have had a chance to look at it, but after a slide with pictures, there's a slide with issues and recommendations, and that's what I want the AAC collectively to, excuse me, tell me if I've missed some issues, if more need to be added, and are your recommendations the same as mine? I'm only one voice. I need other voices. But on this, these are how do you get off of a metro train, and on the platform you find various pylons of various sizes and shapes, and on some of them you can find your way to the wheelchair accessible route, the elevator, easily if you find the pylon that's got the arrow and the ISA, the international, I can't, Standards of Accessibility wheelchair symbol. So, a couple of members of the AAC have pointed out that these are very inconsistent where they're located. And there have been instances where people get off of trains and they're struggling to find one and going up and down the platform and only finding one of these arrows with a wheelchair symbol on their way back down the platform after traveling a lot, which was sort of unnecessary. So, should these be on more than one side of every single pylon on the station platform, like Sarah mentioned? Where are those new station ahead signs going to push these out and the wheelchair access routes disappear? Oddly, at East Falls Church on just the station pylon that gives the name of the station, there was the wheelchair symbol, an elevator symbol. There wasn't an elevator symbol on these little ones, which are down more at about 4 feet off the floor, more visible from wheelchair face level, head level. So how do we make these consistent? That's the struggle for folks, we who've been in many metro stations and people who are new. So let's see, Anu, go to the next page and let's see what I've got listed for issues. So they're on the pylons on the platform with the arrows. But what I'm recommending, the wheel, and we could go through this in detail at another time. Maybe I should just quickly go through the photos and ask for feedback later, because otherwise we're only going to get through one or two. So let's have everybody think about this on your own. Lying awake in bed at night. This is the sort of stuff I think about. I don't want you to do that, but read through it and give me feedback or something. So here's another way that access to get to an elevator, signage to get to an elevator that's wheelchair accessible. At Metro Station, I've circled it on the left, and I get my colors confused because I have to look at inverted color screens. So maybe I wasn't the best choice, but I circled it in black. I think that was the correct color. The symbols are black on white circles. Those are fairly easy for me to read. I think this was an experimental thing, illustrated at the bottom here on the Roslyn sign, that a white rectangle was put in the background. So it ends up being I've just lost my screen. It ends up being, I'm sorry, I'm having technical difficulties at my house. So the symbol itself is white on a black background that's a circle, which is then a couple of circles and information are collectively put onto a white rectangle. And the question is, which is easier to read if you're low vision or anybody? Which makes more sense? And I'll give you my bias. Personally, I think the black symbol on the white round circle is easier to read and draws my attention better. I don't know if that's true for everybody. And again, I think consistency is important. Presumably, the upper part of this Metro Center sign that has the in-station information and the upper part of the Roslyn sign will still exist. It's the bottom part that has the station ahead information will be changing possibly. But I do think that having this in-station information right on the sign that says Metro Center, you're in Metro Center right now, and you're headed to Shady Grove on the platform that you're standing on here. But if you want to get out, this is the direction you go to find an ex a wheelchair accessible route out of the station. All right, let's go to one more, and then maybe we can do some talking and thinking before we go to public comment because time is short. So another question is, and Sarah's heard me talk about this before, when you're trying to find the exit by reading signage, printed signage, for people with low vision, the signs hanging from the ceiling before you enter an escalator often have ceiling lights that cause a glare issue. First of all, for a low vision person, it's hard to read up there at 10 feet up in the air or whatever it is. But I could get out my phone camera and read it. But then I'd be blocking traffic of people scurrying to the escalator. So I don't like to stop 8 feet in front of an escalator to read a sign. That just doesn't make sense to me. But on top of that, there's the glare issue, light reflecting off of the sign that makes it very difficult to read the sign. Then to the right, there's an example in, I believe this is L'Enfant Plaza, because it's Maryland Ave. On a pylon, there's an exit letter, exit A, which is nice and big. And I can actually see the big yellow sign. I can't read the. I can see that it's a big yellow sign from about 10 feet away, but I have to get maybe 5 feet away to see that it's an A. But they have an A, B, C, and D exits out of L'Enfant Plaza. And below the big letter A information is the street sign. So this is the Maryland Ave exit and 7th Street, I think. And it's very close to, and there's an arrow. Yeah, there's an arrow pointing what direction you need to go. And lo and behold, the exit sign is on the manager's kiosk, not too far away. So that's a pretty good, I know where I'm getting out. Exit A doesn't make any sense to me, but these lettered exits are very useful to Metro for something as benign as the cleaning crew, police enforcement, what do you call the guys who come in? Emergency people, you know, fire and rescue people who would have to come in. They may be using the concept of the incident is at exit B or exit A, and you know they get into the metro station and they need to find the correct exit. Whatever. So the lettering system may be here to stay, which is fine. Here's an example: the bottom picture. The bottom sign is at Gallery Place. And the top part of the sign, which is this is a wall sign, and it has a lot of information on it. The top half of the wall sign is for information outside of the metro station. Remember before when we were talking about Roslyn, the upper part of the sign was in the station information. So we've got two different kinds of signage going on. The lower part of the sign has to do with in the station information. But regardless, the top part lists exit to such and such street, exit to such and such point of interest. And this would be a perfect opportunity to put exit A, such and such streets or galleries, exit B, such and such information. And it just seems like a missed opportunity that the letter of the exit wasn't put right there after the exit to such and such points of interest. Okay, I'm going to stop there, and because, like I said, we do have public comment coming up in just a couple minutes. But I want everybody to think about this, and I sent it out to everybody. You've got the what I mentioned as issues. If issues are additional issues pop up, or if you have issues you want to present right now, I'm happy to take questions. And if WMATA staff wants to chime in, I can handle that. I asked you guys a lot of questions. I knew anybody have their hand up?
Yes, actually, Pat Sheehan and Sam Sarabine.
Go for it, Pat.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. Not having looked at your entire presentation, we covered how much of it?
Maybe some a third, less than a half of
Okay.
tonight's presentation, which is less than a half of what I thought I
Right.
could pull together.
All right. So I'm thinking that we should continue this next month. Tino,
Absolutely.
does that
Yeah.
work for you?
We plan to do that. We plan.
Great. Okay. Beautiful. That's yeah. No. That's all I wanted to say. I think she's put a lot of hard work into it, and it's great. And I think it's something we really want to look at. Good.
And so far, I don't think anything that I've been thinking about contradicts what the Jamie and Sarah were presenting earlier tonight. I mean, I'm talking different issues here.
Yes. No. I agree. Yeah. I agree. That's great. Okay. Thanks.
We should share Sandy's illustrations with at least Jamie.
I'm happy to do that if Anu can, if that's appropriate, Anu can pass this along to
Sure.
anybody, but please consider it a draft.
And I think the RAC would also be interested in this too, because a lot of this stuff is talks about uniformity, consistency, exits, and that sort of thing. So I think it would be great for them to be able to see it.
Any other hands up?
Sam has his hand up. So, Sam, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi there. Sam, again, product manager for wayfinding and service information. Sandy, I looked through what you put together. It's great. It's a great inventory, and you should know that we are doing similar inventory work. Your comments about a lot of information on single signs and the challenges that creates. And also your appreciation for sort of the large letters is all work that we are doing and we are moving toward. So whenever there's exit information, it's going to be a lettered exit with points of interest and intersections on it. There will also be specific signs dedicated to that information. So you will not be splitting information that relates to both the station. What's above ground, what's the service? Like service information and exit information is going to be clearly differentiated in the sign types that get rolled out. You haven't, unfortunately, been given the opportunity to see where we're headed yet, but I'm very eager to have you meet the team and see where we are headed. Because I think everything that you've, or at least a lot of what you have identified, are inconsistencies and challenges that have been introduced into the system that we are in the process of cleaning up internally, digitally at present, and have not made their way out into the real world, unfortunately, at scale. And so presently, as you've correctly documented, there's a lot of inconsistency that creates more confusing and more challenging circumstances than should exist. We are also have developed a system where exit information that takes people out of our stations, will be communicated through a system of squares. And service information that's going to take you places, is going to be depicted through a system of circles. So you know how you have the rail service desks and the arrows that are round? That will be service. And then you'll have square arrows and letters in squares that take you to exits. And so that's just another element that we're going to consistently deploy to make the system more intuitive. I've said too much, I've talked too much. I'm excited that I had this opportunity to talk with you all. And I would like to find an opportunity for us to get together with the team to share with you where our research is taking us so that you all can feel as though we're aligned, more aligned, because I think we are very aligned. And also so you can contribute to the solutions that we come up with and bring to the public.
We have Jamie Ernst's name. You're
Yes. Yes. So Jamie and I work together. She's my direct report. She's my project manager.
okay.
Yeah. So absolutely. Please, let's find a time to get everybody together.
Your name is
Sam.
Sam.
And
Sam.
we've spoken before. Yeah. I'm a 53-year-old product manager for wayfinding and service information that is increasingly having to take my glasses off to read things. So I can totally appreciate how larger type, wherever possible, is preferable.
Okay, so Sam, this is Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
I really I wish that there could be sort of a better knitting together of WMATA or Metro, whatever you call yourselves, coming up with ideas and us. I feel like there's a very too much of a time lag before we hear about it and can give you, and then there's even more of a time lag before we give you useful feedback. I'm not kidding you. I think I first put this stuff together last April. I wish I could have handed it to you in May, so to speak. But
Sandy, I
I
agree
appreciate.
100%. I agree 100% with what you just said.
Okay.
Yes, and I would like to build that quicker feedback loop. I'm
Okay.
here for it, okay?
Excellent. Okay.
100%.
Well,
We have to move on to.
Sandy, you need to send the whole email with your text and with the visuals that you shared with the bus rail subcommittee. You need to share that with Jamie and with Sam.
I'll ask Anu to do that as appropriate. That's not for, they Anu can pass it along to appropriate people.
I was just going to chime in quick 10 seconds. Excellent observation about labeling those at the top of the signage about exit A to whatever, exit B to this ever. But I think we had, it may be in your report, but we had also discussed that that top level layer was hard to read because it was something shimmery or the lights were hitting it and it was
Yeah.
hard for us to read. So I just wanted to throw that in and I'm done.
Right. And it sounds like Sam and company are working on this kind of sign might get it will be cut into two pieces, so to speak. The bottom half of the sign that's going to be within the station information, and then the top half of the sign, so they presumably will come up with a better color combination for the
Right.
top
That's what
half
I meant.
exiting the station.
Exactly. That's all
And
I
I'm
wanted to throw in the pot. Okay.
no, perfect point, Philippa. Thank you.
Well, we now have about 10 minutes. Anu, is there anyone who from the public has expressed an interest in discussing anything?
So, Chair Calabria, Janice Samuel had raised her hand earlier, and if she is still connected, Janice, you can go ahead and make your comments during this public comment section. Before you do that, I just want to state that any members of the public connected on this meeting, if you would like to make comments, you can raise your hands. If you're on phone, you can press star 9. If you're on video conference, you can click on the raise hand icon, and we will take the members of the public in the order received. So, Janice, if you are, yes, you are connected. If you'd like to go ahead and make your comments, please do.
Thank you, Nu. My comments were regarding the SAMs, the station ahead, in concert with other comments that it is natural to read from top to bottom and not from bottom to top. But I think the same arguments can probably be applied to changing the direction and letting the top be the, so to speak, you are here designation, and then each of the subsequent stations being below. But either way, there's going to be some place that's difficult for low vision persons to see, whether that's at the top or the bottom, because the higher you go, even though it's you might have a larger arrow, maybe a red arrow, even though I don't know if that would be confused with the color of a station, and maybe saying you are here hyphen Arlington Cemetery or something, and then going down. And I understand that the font size is smaller when you're further out in the system and you've got more stations to follow, but that's really when you need it to be larger because it's more information. When the font is big and you've just got two stations, it's like by then you've kind of caught on, and I don't know if it's as important then to have it large. So those were just my random thoughts about the SAMs. And Sandy, I on your presentation about which of the arrows were easier to read, for me as a low vision individual, the white arrow on the black circle on the white rectangle was easier for me to see. The opposite, the white arrow, everything looked like it was like floating in, in the larger black rectangle. But again, we're all different. So those were my random comments, Anu.
Janice, we can share with you the work that Sandy did. And if you could then comment too in writing, that would be
Sure. I'll go through it.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Janice.
Absolutely.
Anu, anyone else? Anu,
Thank you. Sarah Rod has raised her hand, but I just want to ensure that there are no members of the public before we take comments from the AAC members and Chair Calabria. I am not seeing any additional members of the public with
Okay.
their hands up or who have put in a message in the chat. So we can go ahead and take Sarah Rod's comments. And Sarah, when you start speaking, I'll begin the timer for 2 minutes.
Okay, thanks. These are from member of the comment, member of the public point of view. So first, I wanted to bring to the rest of the committee's attention. I had some outreach today from somebody who is on the DC, I think it's the Council for Persons with Disabilities, which falls under the DC, I've forgotten its name, Office of Accessibility Resources or something along those lines. I'm sorry, I've forgotten the exact name of it, and you guys can correct me.
MAAC. Go.
Okay. Apparently, there's been a little bit of change within the office, and they've consolidated a couple of other groups. So I believe there was previously a separate deaf blind organization committee that is now part of the larger accessibility committee, and they were interested in asking us apparently about what WMATA is doing in terms of signage. So, since we're on a signage kick today, for announcements on metro trains and things, like when there is exiting, normally you get the overhead announcement saying, oh, you're at whatever station, you're at whatever, or in the case of an emergency. And they wanted to know if there's any work being done now that there are more digital options so that folks who aren't hearing those audible announcements can get the same information. So I throw that out there to all of our sign people who are online. You don't have to give me an answer now, but just so you know, there's people out there that are looking for an update and would like to work with us on moving that forward. The other thing
Our
is, oh,
the
go ahead.
camp our advisory committee is the MAAC, and they're meeting on Wednesday. Maybe some of what we've been talking about can be shared with them at that time, or maybe even earlier. But go
So I
ahead.
think this is a separate organization, I think,
Oh, okay.
but it's sort of the counterpart I know of the Alexandria Commission on Persons with Disabilities. So it's a more general group, I think, but I will find out. I've got to track it down. Go ahead.
Sarah, this is Sandy. The acronym or the group you're trying to say, I think, might be DORS. Oh, Rico. DORS, Department of Rehabilitation Services, is in DC. Maybe that's the group you're talking about that's getting some sort of amalgamation with another group.
No,
So there's two different groups. One is the office within the DC government, the other is a commission that is affiliated with it.
DORS is Maryland. DRS is the District of Columbia.
Yeah, so it's not them. It is a
Okay.
different office. It's I'll get it straight. I should have had them write it down for me. On a separate note, I wanted to give you guys a quick update. You may remember back at the end of October, I relayed to you a rather frightening incident that happened on a metro train where people were suddenly stopped and evacuated, and then the doors were not properly opened, and my daughter couldn't get out in a wheelchair, and eventually she was able to get out, but apparently something went wrong in terms of the way the exiting happened. Anyway, I wanted to let you all know I have not yet received any formal reply to the formal incident report that I put in more than a month ago. And I have sort of asked Barbara Millville, our ombudsman, to take a look into it. According to the WECHRA website, that is the appropriate person to start looking into things. But I really have a question about like why I did not receive any sort of official response within the 5 days that the website says I should have as part of the issue. And then I know we've all already talked about sort of bigger sort of looking into safety issues and what might have gone wrong. But I'll probably be sending around a note to you all with some further thoughts on that. But I wanted to let you know that I am still pursuing this. I'm still trying to get answers, and I would still really like to know what happened, what went wrong, and like what should have been so that we can prevent this from anything like that from happening in the future.
Barbara's with us. Barbara, do you have any comments to make? Barbara Millville? You're muted, Barbara.
Hi, this is Barbara Millville. I'm a person with people with disabilities, short brown hair. My initial point is that we need to think about this. Like, there could be 100 different reasons why those doors were malfunctioning, and I believe we need to we can try to find the answer, but the best thing moving forward is to try to get everybody who would like to have some kind of training, if they have a disability or, older adult, so that they feel very comfortable that they have an idea within the stations where their nearest exit is, if there's more than one. And, unfortunately, think about things like, hey, what would you do if something happened? And, do a little bit of role playing in your head. Like, know where the 4-digit numbers are inside and outside the rail cars, know about the emergency phones that you could use to call the train operator and then have in your smartphone the number to the Metro Police. And again, do some role playing about what you would need to say to them, what kinds of things. You could also move to another car. Well, you couldn't get out. In this case, that wouldn't happen. But when the 8K cars, you could with the gangways. So there's a lot of things to unpack. I hope to speak again soon with Sarah about this. And on Metro's side, we can, of course, with Maggie's approval and everything else, like we would need to get together some training materials for the riders with disabilities, because I was sharing with Sarah that there are actually boards in cabinets at the ends of the platforms, and that those are what the emergency crew get when somebody is in between the stations, and then they go down the little path, and it's quite a long thing, and it's really worthy of the time, because it may not be the most pleasant and new and shiny topic, but it's on people with disabilities' mind, and it could put them at ease if some of these questions were answered in the short run and also the longer run. I hope that helps, Tino.
Well, the station platform people, whether it be the station managers or the ambassadors or other people within WMATA itself who would be on the platform or within reach of the platform, need the training much more than could be done for all of us riders, many of us who live in the DMV, but also their visitors who we can't reach by ourselves. So it's most important to have the WMATA personnel who's in the station trained to deal with the kind of problem that Sarah's been talking about.
Yeah, well, there's other types of issues that can go on, and the people with disabilities have to have a discussion amongst themselves and say, hey, here's the issues, and I know about how to get out and stuff, but maybe I don't feel comfortable. Maybe I want to just say I'm going to bow out of the bus rail, as mu nice as it is, and stick with Chris Blake's lovely Metro Access and those alternatives. And that's fine too. It's all public transportation. If they don't feel comfortable being
Well,
in there in a possible emergency evacuation situation.
so this is Sarah again. And thank you, Barbara. I appreciate the time that you took to talk with me at the end of last week, and the fact that you have agreed to help continue to look into what actually happened. There's a couple of different issues. You're absolutely right that that training would be great, and I think Tino is absolutely right that probably more important, we need to make sure that the Metro folks, that are going to be handling it, actually have some additional training, because we can't get to every disabled rider that's out there and tell them what's going to happen or have them plan ahead, or as he pointed out, visitors, that sort of thing. And those b were both very worthy things to look into that can take some time that we should do. But in the meantime, I am genuinely concerned about what happened to my incident report. I mean, if a rider, I mean, doesn't just because it's me doesn't make any difference at all. But I mean, any rider that takes the time to write in and tell people what happened or reports an incident, they get an automatic reply saying that they're going to get an answer within 5 days, and the website says the same thing. And this went into the ether. And as far as we can tell, like nobody did anything. And if you're just complaining that, oh, I didn't like the guy sitting next to me because he was making too much noise or didn't have earbuds on, that's one thing. But this is a safety issue. It could have been serious. I mean, very gratefully that it wasn't, but it could have been. And I find it really distressing that nobody has bothered to get back to me until now. And nobody seems concerned about actually tracking it down to find out what happened. It's a different issue.
Well, I don't know if we can leave it that, but is already 4 minutes after our legal meeting
Oh,
time.
we must go then. Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Yes. There's
you
no
know,
need.
I think this is something we need to escalate. Sarah, what you're saying about timely response is critical.
Yes.
If it can happen to you, it can happen to anybody else, and that's just not acceptable, neither for you or anybody else. So I think that's something we escalate and get an answer for you.
I also, this is Barbara again, may I also add that in the past we had people with disabilities who actually went to the emergency evacuation training, and that's not happening now. That's just another way of
right.
Solving the issue.
I understand that, Barbara, but right now we're talking about an incident report that was filed in October and we don't have an answer. So we need to know what that process is and where it fell down.
Pat and Tino, this is Maggie. What I can do is take a look at it because there may be some internal system-wide areas of improvement as well as within the safety department. So I'll connect with our chief safety officer in the morning to see the status of this and what happened, the breakdown.
Beautiful. Thank you, Maggie. That's exactly what we need.
Well, we're beyond the adjournment time, so we're adjourned, really. Any other
and our ASL interpreters are gone, so we do need to adjourn.
Yeah. Well, we are adjourned. It's after 6 o'clock. So anyway, thank you all staff and our one visitor. We'll see you next Monday's meeting too. Yes. Okay, so we're adjourned. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.